Where's McIntyre at? She's the one that always says the minutes. That's ridiculous.
England or Italy?
Each one of those?
I knew she was somewhere.
Must be a European tour.
Well, I guess we can get started. As you can see, we don't have a chair or a vice chair today, so the first order of business is to figure out who gets this.
I think Jeff should be the chair.
I did it last time.
Sounds like we need a motion and a second and a vote.
I move that Jeff having be temporary chair for the day.
I second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Here's your script.
I will.
For the hearing.
Aye.
Chair Hanley. Is there an agenda as well?
I have a.
Over there?
Sure, what's cooking?
There's one.
See that?
See, you have the one too.
I have mine in here, sorry.
You guys get agendas? Just read one?
Sure, basketball.
Maybe a couple more of those.
March 7th of 2017.
Those are old minutes.
You guys, there's one guy's having a prayer minutes in a while, apparently.
I'm gonna pass on these because I was not at that meeting. It says it right on the front page. That gets me out of trouble.
All right, let's go. Let's call this meeting to order at 3:03 my time. We'll now take public comment limited to items not being heard or discussed elsewhere on the agenda. And there is a maximum of 5 minutes per speaker. If you have not done so and you wish to speak, please sign up with that, with our list over there. If everybody signed up wants to speak, who's the first person on the list?
Me.
You are? All right. We will be timing to the 5 minutes. We got a lot to cover today.
Electromagnetic today. Reading electric microwaves coming through the air right now. We're at 45, 39. It's reading the peak over here. Way up. Extreme. It's over 1,000. That is 1 billion microwatts per second floating through your body as we speak. I hope you don't mind if I smoke cigarettes because I don't want the secondhand electronic transfer. And I'm here about the cell tower that just went up. I want to thank you all, expressly thank you, because High Valley has never looked so good. It's like hanging a Rembrandt or a Da Vinci or a Monet on your wall to have and drive down my road every single day and stare at that beautiful cell tower. This is a book written in 2013 by a doctor stating many studies on the electromagnetic radiation and the causes and the harms thereof your body. They are considered death towers by most. This is a study which, may I put on record, the county commissioners refused to look at any of these. 42 different people from Harvard University, Department of the Interior, impacts of cell phone towers and antennas, World Health Organization, National Institute of Health, World Health Organization Base Station, United States Department of Interior, and we'll start with, where's the impact study? On this here, which is the permit, which was given to put up the cell tower. Now, if I look at this permit correctly, this is the coverage that will be after the permit, after the tower goes up, and this is the coverage that is in Tie Valley now, provided by US Cellular, which says zero coverage, maximum coverage. May 1st, I pulled up this off of US Cellular's website, which states that there is 3G all the way down the proposed valley, which in this permit states that there is no 3G. There is no 4G. There's no cell reception. But yet somehow US Cellular has all this coverage post having the permit given and prior to the tower actually being up. So something is amiss here for me, that they say that there isn't any, and then I go to their website on May 1st and they say that there is. So how did they get a permit? Giving this information here, which is to me fraud, because they say there isn't any, and then they say that's what's going to be there. But then on May 1st, I can pull this up. I don't understand that. These are from your, this is your stuff here. These are all of your things here. Here's the Telecommunications Act. I was stated that it was not up to the state, that it was up to the federal government where these things go. FCC Act preserves state and local authority over zoning and land use decisions for personal wireless service facilities. So whoever told me that, who's not here today, was either misinformed or misinformed me. I'm not sure what the deal is. Does anybody want to see the health of, does anybody want to take these? I'll give these to you. I don't have to prove to you that these things are harmless. You have to prove to me that they are not. How so? Let me tell you, it stands right here in the Constitution of these United States. So I went over your website. Core values. Embody the 100% love culture. Anybody read this? Anybody found this 100% love culture stuff? This is what you write to kindergartners. You put this on the board on the first day of kindergarten. Equity and fairness in all things. Equity and fairness in all things. Whatever money anybody made or the landowner is making, if it's fair and equitable, I want part of his equity. I want part of the money that he's making off of having this cell phone tower on there. Because that's equity and fairness in all things. It's on your website. Keep an open mind and be open to change. Is that when you get a cell phone tower? Be open to change? Well, just go for it. It's a change. It's modern. Kindness and compassion for people who live in our community. See, the thing that chaps my butt the most and burns my bridges, nobody asked. Nobody asked me. Nobody said, hey, do you want a cell tower here? Excuse me. I've spoken to so many people in Ty Valley and Maupin area, and I said, you guys need to come down to the Planning Commission. You know what every single person said? Doesn't matter. I'm not going to waste my time going down there. If they don't care, they're not going to listen. They're going to run ahead with their agenda. Love what you do and have fun doing it. Well, there we go back to kindergarten. Be a strong team. Excellence in service. Service to who? The people? Nobody told me there was a cell tower going in. Relationships are primary. Nobody told me there was a cell tower going in. Relationships are first, whether individuals or organizations. Nobody came and was friendly with me. Nobody said, hey, we're thinking about putting a cell phone tower down. Do you want it? Be a good neighbor. So if you all live next to me and I put a junkyard in there, am I being a good neighbor? Is anybody here in this commission putting up a cell tower? Are you being a good neighbor? Use honest and active communication. Well, I'm certainly using honest and active communication. Say what you mean with 100% love. I hate the fact that I'm here having to take time out of my day to speak with you guys to say, what the hell's up with this cell phone? Why don't you ask the people? If you're here representing the people, you forgot one important thing, to ask the people. Mr. Runyon, who's experienced and trusted leadership, is no longer with us anymore because he was voted out, is not here. He discounted me because I live just far enough away from it that he thinks it's okay. Well, that's wrong.
Sir, yes. Spend 5 minutes.
Have a good day.
You got here.
I don't know what that's called.
Thank you.
Mr. Justin. All right, guys. Well, first, I'll be short. I want to apologize that I didn't make it to the roadshow events. It just didn't work out, and frankly, the timeliness of the notification could have been a little better. But with regards to that, I'll go ahead and ask a few questions today. If you guys don't feel the need to answer them, there's some questions for you to consider. With regards to the Wasco County Tonic Water Plan. First, does the advisory board have any plans to create more agricultural lots smaller than the standard 160? If so, what is the criteria that will be used to determine the location of the high production zones for these lots? And do any of the commissioners or advisory board members stand to profit from these land use changes? Are there any other rezoning strategies being considered? If so, what criteria will be used to determine locations for such changes? And do any of the commissioners or advisory board members stand to profit from these potential changes? If so, then who? That's all, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Justice. I'm going to have to back up a little bit to roll call. I forgot to run us through roll call, so I'll go ahead and start, Mike. If you can go. Jeff Handley, The Dalles.
Mike Davis, Ty Valley.
Christiano Duper.
Vicki Ashley, Baker.
Will Smith, Senior Planner.
Tom Baird, Associate Planner.
Love me?
Yeah.
Jesse Smith, Program Assistant.
Okay. Approval of past minutes. Who is ready to move forward with that, or do you want to table it to the next meeting?
We pretty well marked these up. Can Brenda just go from the markups? I don't think they're ready for approval. None of them are ready for signing.
Let's,
markups on every one of them, I think.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and move that we move those minute approvals to our next
right.
meeting.
With the suggested changes.
Correct. Any seconds?
A second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Okay. Review of the file 921-18-000010. PLNG, a request by Clifford Wirtz for a variance to the property line setback requirements. I need to switch over. When do I switch to this?
Anytime.
All right, I'll go ahead and switch to it now. I'm now opening the hearing. We will now open the public hearing on agenda item, which I just read off, a request by Clifford Wirtz for a temporary medical hardship dwelling, variance to the 200 agricultural setback to the western property boundary line and to the 100-foot general setback to the eastern and southern property boundary lines and an after-the-fact review of a replacement dwelling. The criteria for approval of the applications include Review Authority, Chapter 2, Section 2.060.B.8 of the Wasco County Land Use and Development Ordinance, LUDA. Review criteria from the LUDA include Chapter 3, Basic Provisions, Section 3.210, A1, 160, Exclusive Farming Use Zone. Do I have to read all the everything word for word?
I can read them when I do my presentation. One way or the other, all of it has to be read. Yes.
Oh, okay. So I can skip A, B, C, and D and
you
go straight
sure
to
can.
2? All right. The procedure I would like to follow is disclosure of interest, ex parte contact, or potential conflict. Reading of the rules of evidence, planning department will present a report. Those who wish to speak in favor of the proposal, those who wish to speak in opposition to the proposal. Rebuttal. Close the hearing and record record and begin deliberation. If enough information is available, the Planning Commission will make a decision today. Disclosure of interest, ex parte contact, or potential conflict. Does any Planning Commissioner wish to disqualify themselves for any personal or financial interest in this matter?
I would, I think.
Okay, Chris, go ahead.
Cliff and I have been friends for a long time. I don't feel like I should be judging Bruin or putting a vote in on any of this. I mean, I just think it would be a conflict.
Fair enough. Anybody else wish to speak up? All right. Does any Planning Commissioner wish to report any significant ex parte or pre-hearing contacts? Hearing none. Staff contact is not ex parte and does not need to be disclosed. Does any member of the audience wish to challenge the right of any Planning Commissioner to hear this of this matter? Hearing none. Is there any member of the audience who wishes to question the jurisdiction of this body to act on behalf of Wasco County in this matter? Hearing none. Planning Commissioner's disclosure of site visit. For the record, have any Planning Commissioners conducted a site visit to the subjected property?
None.
Just driving by, I can kind of see it from the highway. That's mm-hmm. about it. And if you look right where you know where you're looking, you can kind of see where your purse is.
I drove in on the loop. That's all. Nope. Is
that right behind Richard Wallace's big house, sir?
Yes, sir. Okay. Party of recognition. Anyone can speak for or against the proposal today. However, only those who have party status will be able to appeal a decision reached by the commission. Should I read the party status? Okay. A party is defined as section 1.090 as the applicant and all owners or contract purchases of record as shown in the files of the Wasco County Assessor's Office of the property, which is subject to the application. all property owners of record as provided in A above within the notification area as described in section 2.080A.2 of the property which is subject of the application. A citizen advisory group pursuant to the citizen involvement program approved pursuant to ORS 197.160. Any affected unit of local government or public district or state or federal agency, any other person or his representative who is specifically, personally, or adversely affected in the subject matter as determined by the approving authority. If you want party status, please say so at the beginning of your testimony. At the end of the public testimony, the Planning Commission will deliberate about granting party status to each person who requests it. The rules of evidence as follows. No person shall present irrelevant, immaterial, unduly repetitious testimony or evidence. Evidence received shall be of a quality that is reasonable person relies upon in the conduct of their daily affairs. Testimony and evidence must be directed toward the criteria applicable to the subject hearing or to criteria that the party believes apply to the decision. Failure to raise an issue with a sufficient specificity may preclude raising it before the Land Use Board of Appeals. Failure to raise constitutionally other issues related to the proposed conditions of approval was sufficient especially to allow Wasco County to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Any party of record may request that the record remain open for at least 7 days prior to the conclusion of the initial evidentiary hearing. Failure of persons to participate in the public hearing, either orally or in writing, precludes that person's right of appeal to the Board of Commissioners. Written testimony submitted prior to the hearing constitutes participation in the hearing. Will the staff please present and report?
You picked a big one to throw me under the bus with.
Yeah, I apologize, glass of water. But blame your chair and vice chair for not being here. Good afternoon, for the record. My name is Dawn Baird. I'm an associate planner for the Wasco County Planning Board. I did not prepare most of this report. Riley Marcus did. She's no longer with our office, so I am presenting it in her absence. The request, as the temporary chair stated, is three requests by Clifford Works. We have three items: temporary use permit for medical hardship for Mr. Works, a variance to the 200-foot agricultural setback to the western property boundary line, 100 feet, a variance to the 100-foot general setback to the eastern and southern property lines, and an after-the-fact review of a replacement dwelling. We've got a lot of maps within the packet. I did not prepare any PowerPoint for you, so it'll go faster. Page 1-4 of your packet shows a location map within the community of Boyd, because the property is located on a lot which is located north of Boyd City Street, about 150 feet west of Gillum Street in the community of Boyd. It's also described as 1 South 14 E, 17 B, tax lots 300 and 400. Accounts 9980 and 15951. The property is approximately 3/4 of an acre in size. Staff prepared a recommendation and it was provided to the Planning Commission and was available for review at the counter a minimum of 1 week prior to this hearing as required by state law. Read those criteria that our temporary chair chose not to read. And I can read fast. Chapter 3 basic provisions, section 3.210, the A1 exclusive farm use zone. Section 3.213D, uses permitted subject to type 1 review, replacement of a lawfully established dwelling. Section 3.216, A1C, property development standards. Sections 3.218, agricultural protection, and 3.219C, additional standards for a replacement dwelling. Chapter 6 variances, section 6.020, criteria for a decision. Chapter 8, temporary use permits. Chapter 10, fire safety standards. Sections 10.110, siting standards. 120, defensible space, 130, construction standards for dwellings and structures, 140, access standards, and 150, fire protection or on-site water required. 3 reason this application is before the Planning Commission is because of the variance. Planning staff is only permitted to grant up to a 50% deviation from the requirement, and this request exceeds 50%. The owner requests a 75% deviation from the western property line. He's asking for a 50-foot setback when 200 is required by the ordinance. He's requesting a 60% deviation from the eastern property line, where a 100-foot setback is required, and only 40 is being proposed, and then a 50% deviation from the southern property line. Also, 100-foot setback is required, but only 50 feet is proposed. And if you look at the map, you'll understand what that is. The application was received by the Planning Department on February 27th of this year. It was found to be complete on April the 19th. And was scheduled for a hearing on today's date. The staff recommendation was issued on June 22nd and was provided to the Planning Commission on June 26th. If you feel you have all the information necessary to make a decision today, you will do so. On May 2nd, 2018, the Board of Commissioners approved a lot line vacation for four lots owned by Mr. Clifford Wirtz in Boyd. It was four subdivision lots contained within two tax lots. Mr. Wirtz asked for vacation of all those interior lot lines, and it was granted. So we've already talked about the three things that he's asking for: a temporary use permit, a variance, and an after-the-fact replacement of a dwelling. And I'm going to start with that last one. Criteria relating to a replacement dwelling are discussed on pages 9 and 13 and 14. Past staff practice was that once a hardship dwelling was no longer required, either of the dwellings, either the primary dwelling or the hardship dwelling, could be removed. Current policy is that the hardship dwelling must be removed. Therefore, the current dwelling is considered to be in violation because the owner removed the primary dwelling, not the hardship dwelling. Today's decision is going to allow the replacement of that primary dwelling with the hardship dwelling. And that hardship dwelling was approved in 96. I don't know the exact year it was taken off, but Mr. Wirtz can probably tell you. The replacement dwelling is an allowed use in the exclusive farm use zone, subject to a type 1 review. Based on findings in the staff recommendation, staff finds that the request does comply with all the criteria in the exclusive farm use zone. The second request is a temporary use permit for a family hardship, and the findings related to this request are listed on pages 18 and 19 of your packet. Section 8.070, temporary use of a mobile home for family hardship, allows the placement of a second home on property where the hardship relates to the aged, infirm, or to persons otherwise incapable of maintaining a separate residence. We did receive a doctor's note with the application explaining the reason for the hardship, and the owner has the ability to meet all of the hardship dwelling criteria because the request is for a mobile home. It's going to use the same septic system as the primary dwelling. It's within 100 feet of the primary dwelling. So specific conditions of approval relating to the removal of this hardship dwelling are proposed. This permit will be valid for a period of 2 years, and at which time it can be renewed if the hardship continues to exist. Once it's no longer needed for the family hardship, the owner will have 60 days to remove the mobile home from the property. If renewals are not kept up to date every 2 years, or if the home's not being used by the current owner, the hardship dwelling has to be removed. Last application is the variance, and those criteria and findings are addressed on pages 14 through 18 of your packet. We did include a site plan, actually apparently in several locations in the packet, but specifically on page 5. And as I said, we staff can't make a decision on anything that asks for greater than 50% deviation. little history of Boyd, in case some of you don't know. I'm sure you all do, and I'm going to bore you, but I found it fascinating. At one time, the community of Boyd was a thriving residential and commercial community due to its proximity on the road heading south to the gold mines in Canyon City. The community of Boyd was platted in 1893 into 50 by 100 lots, which is very similar to city-sized lots. A variance to property line setbacks for construction or placement of any building on any of these residential lots in Boyd is required because we have such large setbacks from farm operations in our ordinance. If he is not granted a variance, he will not be able to do this development at all. Properties surrounding him, to the west is Wheat. Miller Branch Company owns that. Properties to the east and south don't contain any, well, the northeast and south, they don't contain any farm use, so the requirement, the setback requirement is 100 feet. Current consolidated lots, all four of them together, measure approximately 230 feet long by about 140 feet wide. The owner shows a setback of 25 feet from the driveway. When you look at that site plan on page 5, he shows a setback of 25 feet, but it's actually 40 feet from the property line. We've talked about the other setbacks, but the bottom line is that based on the size and width of these lots, nothing can be placed in compliance with the current A1 zone setbacks. With the exception of the plat of Ortley, which I don't know if everybody's familiar with, it was another little community platted out off of north of Seven Mile Hill Road. But with the exception of Ortley, the Boyd subdivision is the only subdivision I'm aware of in Wasco County with 5,000 square foot lots that are zoned exclusive farm use. This is pretty unique and extraordinary. Other property owners do have the right, other property owners in the county do have the right to place a hardship dwelling on their property. But again, due to the size of the lot, Mr. Brooks would be denied this right. The property does have a history of having a hardship dwelling, and the residents of the hardship dwelling and the primary dwelling, to our knowledge, have never made any complaints about farming operations in the area. We have no reason to believe that a new hardship dwelling would conflict with the adjacent farm operation. The owner proposes to place the hardship dwelling on a concrete pad where the prior hardship dwelling was located. Water and sewer hookups are in place from the prior approval. And all findings of fact and proposed conditions of approval addressing these applications are addressed in the staff recommendation, attachment D. Planning Commission, as always, has four options. A, approve the request with the proposed findings of fact and conditions of approval proposed by staff in attachment D. Approve the request with amended findings of fact and or conditions of approval proposed in attachment D. C, deny the request with amended findings of fact, or D, if you need additional information, continue this hearing to a date and time certain to allow the submittal of additional information. Staff has proposed that you adopt option A, approve the request with the proposed findings of fact and conditions. And the proposed conditions include the following. A, prior to issuance of zoning approval on a mobile home permit, but after expiration of the 12-day appeal period, the owner has to comply with these conditions of approval. Obtain a road approach permit from the county road department. Sign and record with the Wasco County clerk a forest farm management easement, which is an easement that says, I understand I'm living in a farm zone and I agree not to complain about common accepted farming or forest practices granted. The temporary use permit will expire on July 17th, 2018, because I will send this notice of approval out on July the 5th. There's a 12-day appeal period, therefore, 2 years from that date would be July 17th, excuse me, 2020. I apologize. I think I may have copied that, but I'll double-check that it's consistent. The temporary use permit is issued to Clifford Works and is not transferable to any other person. If the medical hardship ends, the hardship dwelling shall be removed. Otherwise, the application for renewal or extension will have to be filed every 2 years to to show that the medical hardship is ongoing. If renewals or extensions are not applied for every 2 years, the owner will be subject to a violation or the required removal of the hardship dwelling. Miscellaneous conditions, you've seen these a million times. Outdoor lighting must be limited in intensity, shielded and hooded, what's that? In a manner that prevents the lighting from projecting onto adjacent properties, roadways, and waterways. Shielding and hooding materials shall be composed of non-reflective opaque materials. And then before we planning staff sign off on a manufactured home placement permit, the county or that North Central Public Health Department will have to sign off on the sanitation portion of that. As I said, we propose that you adopt or you approve this request with the proposed findings and conditions in the staff report, and it appears to meet all of the criteria and standards. We don't see any reason to continue this hearing, but if you do, we can do so. That concludes my presentation. I'd be glad to answer any questions. Also, Mr. Clifford Wirtz is here, and he can clarify anything that you need.
How often does the planning department go back and check on those hardship applications to see if they're being maintained or upkept? Or
you know, we didn't used to, but now our database gives us reminders. So if Mr. Wirtz, for example, you know, come June 17th, a month before the expiration, if he has not come in and asked for it, we would likely send him a reminder letter. And if he doesn't respond and the mobile home stays there, then our code compliance officer will go out there and
address the issue.
Yes, thank you for the kind words.
Okay.
So we did not used to have that capability, and we have had some historically stay on property for over 20 years, but now we've got it dialed in to where we have the ability to follow up.
Okay, so looking at the site plan, we got 40 feet from the driveway, it says, of the hardship home location.
Mm-hmm.
Would that then mean it's 100 feet from the farmland to it, and it's not the 50 as it's
to set? Which one? To the?
The hardship home?
No, it's just measured wrong. He did not count the driveway as being on his land.
Okay, I see.
Is
so it's
on his land.
Okay, I see.
So it's
the
eastern setback, the 25 foot, that is actually 40 feet.
Okay, I see.
As I estimated.
So then it's.
It stays 50 feet to the west.
Okay. But if the property's. Okay, I see. And then I got to add that 65 to it.
Yeah, and my numbers are fluid.
I see.
The bottom line is that it's going to be much closer to all of the setbacks except the northern one than it's supposed to be.
Okay.
And again, based on the size of these lots.
And you were saying this is the approximate location of the prior hardship?
No, there's a concrete pad there, so it's really easy to see where it's going to go.
Okay, so there's a prior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just one. Sidewalk.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Might be better if I ask.
Yeah,
questions.
He's got a whole lot better grasp on that.
Okay, well, let me move on.
The motorhome park there, concrete slab, and the motor park is part of storage there.
Okay, give me 1 second, Mr. Wirtz, and we'll move to you here in just 1 second. All right, any other commissioners have any questions for staff at this time? Right. Does the applicant and or his representative wish to present anything? Go ahead, Mr. Wirtz. It's all of you.
I wanted to say that you can look at that picture there. You can put the motorhome set on it, put the slab there, top of the pole right behind it.
Heather?
Sewer hook up back there.
There's an aerial photo on page 6.
Right.
So you can see exactly how limited.
Right.
And then the photographs right later on, these are site visit photos that Riley took.
Okay.
Yeah. Take it back. I thought it was a concrete slab, doesn't it?
It's runners.
Runners.
There you go, runners.
Jeff.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Wirtz, can you go ahead and state your name and address for the record, please?
Clifford Wirtz, Box 356, Victoria.
Here we go.
Questions,
do you have any additional thing you want to say or do, or This is your time. Speak now, Everett. Hold your peace. Gotcha. Are there any persons who wish to speak in favor of the request? Seeing and hearing none. Are there any persons who wish to speak in opposition of the request? Seeing and hearing none. Does the applicant and or the representative wish to rebut any of the testimony? You're fine with what you heard from everybody?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Does the Planning Commission have any other questions? If there's no further testimony or questions, the public hearing is closed and the Planning Commission will enter into deliberation.
I see no problem. It's pretty cut and dried. It's limited to where they are.
Yeah.
I move that we approve the request for the hardship dwelling variance of 200 feet for the agricultural setback on the western side, the 100-foot general setback on the eastern and southern side, and the after effect review that it's a replacement dwelling.
With the proposed findings amended condition of
that's
staff.
That's what I rule, yes.
Right.
Yeah. With that, I second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Hearing none, motion carries.
Very easy.
Very easy.
Stay clear to
that. And you're in like Flynn.
Okay, thank you guys.
Thanks, Mr. Works.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Stay clever.
You
stay
uphill.
Doing our best.
Okay, I'll see you.
Yes, ma'am.
Chris was recruited.
I recuse myself, yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, I got to go.
Bob, sorry.
He was silent. It's good.
Do you have some other minutes?
Temporarily.
I think I have all the boxes.
That's all you
that
have.
Very rarely happens.
It's over. Yeah.
All right.
It's burning me up. I went a real long time without saying opening my mouth. Yeah.
Thank you.
See you, Clifford.
Bye.
Take care.
I'll go ahead and close the quasi-judicial hearing, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you closed the hearing.
When I
for deliberation.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I'm good to go then.
Yep.
I followed the script well enough.
I am so glad that somebody else had to read those.
You know what? You just might get elected.
What?
You can give me anything you don't want.
Well,
I think he's the man.
Yeah.
That's it.
As you see, Andy and Kelly are unable to make it today, so I can give you a quick update, I suppose, actually, since the next Planning Commission meeting is for my project. On Monday the 23rd, I believe at 5 o'clock, there's going to be a presentation by the group Community Planning Assistance for Wildfire folks who are going to be coming in from Canada, Colorado, Montana, foresters, risk modelers, economists. They are, excuse me, the second of three site visits during this year that they're reviewing our county, and they'll be looking at all of our planning documents related to wildfire and looking at where we can improve protections in the wildland urban interface, which currently is our entire county since everywhere burns, as you know, last week. So that should be an interesting presentation. We'll have a meeting with them, a phone meeting on Thursday to sort of dial in some of the details on how that's going to go, but they'll be here for 2 days and right in the middle of it speaking with you guys, and hopefully we'll get some good public attendance. They came in March and we took them on a little drive around. I could get a little bit up to previously, but showed them a little bit of North County down to Tie Valley area and Pine Hollow. And they did some workshop stuff with some fire professionals, and then they also opened it up to the community as well. So that's kind of an all-day thing on their second day. So I'm not entirely sure yet what they have planned for their second day, but this was kind of the priority I was trying to get, at least in front of some elected appointeds, to discuss kind of where they are with that and just kind of keep you guys in the loop on what they're thinking. So they've done a full audit of all of our documents and their findings to give us suggestions to edit. And everything is all voluntary. Their outcomes will come. Their final site visit will be October, and they'll have a whole packet. Suggest where it goes from there. That's the next one. I believe Kelly has August. What's the August?
5th, I want to say.
That's a Sunday.
That's a Sunday?
I think the 5th is a Sunday.
It's the day after Labor Day.
The 7th.
That's September.
That's September.
August 7th.
August 7th.
Yeah, and I believe that's supposed to be Kelly with some roadshow updates. Okay. So, otherwise, all is well in the planning department.
You've had a staffing change?
We have had a staffing change. Riley went to the city of Dallas. Mm-hmm. We are going to be doing, we've already done some outreach, initial outreach. We have some interviews scheduled for July 11th, next Wednesday. We'll see where it goes from there. But that's our current status for that position.
How's your guys' workload going?
It has sort of slowed down a little bit. It was pretty steady through the spring, and then it haven't had more than one or two in the last few weeks. So
this delays Don's retirement for another 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. Don, you said it ain't happening so many times. You're never getting
January 2nd, 2019.
What a time, guys. You're still on recording. Oh.
That's in the record?
We do have some big projects coming up, so it's good that it's slowed down.
Okay, what's some of the projects on the horizon without going into detail?
No, it's good because the natural hazard mitigation plan was something that we've been working on for quite some time, and steering committee work was all done last year, and this was kind of an editing process that's been sent out to the steering committee, sent back, and now we're waiting on it's a multi-jurisdictional plan with the city of the Dalles, and so they are giving us some of their input, and we're going to hopefully compile it here in the next few weeks. And then it goes through OEM, Oregon Office of Emergency Management, and FEMA. One of them has 45 days to review it and get back to us with feedback. One of them has a limited amount of time. And then the board of county commissioners will review and approve that for the next 5 years. So we'll kind of, that's where we are with the national hazards. So that one wrapping up, we're looking at kicking off the community wildfire protection plan this fall. So after fire season's done with, and after we start getting some of those, hopefully soon, get some of the feedback from the CPAW team. They're looking at that document from 2005, hasn't been touched since then. And I know Eugene Walters there from junior class is really eager to get into that and start updating that process. So that'll be our next big one this fall. We do have on the horizon a wind power proposal. So we have taken a pre-application for darn near the maximum amount that the county can approve. So our process is a conditional use permit to approve up to 105 megawatts of wind power.
That'd be Shenko area, wasn't it?
You might know a little bit about
it. I know a little bit about
it. A landowner in the process.
Yeah.
And so we've taken a look at kind of their initial proposal, and they're finalizing it, their plan, and getting the application to us in August. And that will come to you guys likely. They would like to be in your desk by November.
What about the solar one?
The solar one? So there's a couple of solar ones. There's one that we've heard, been talking to you, but we haven't actually heard anybody come to us.
Please.
Yeah. But they haven't approached us.
Well, it's the same outfit as the wind energy.
Yes, that's right. They talked about that. Just mentioned your name. And so that will probably be, so the wind.
And they're just going to go to the county max on that, too.
Yeah, and that's why they, because once you get over a certain number of megawatts, then it goes to FSEC, the Energy Facilities Site Council. And that is a much longer process.
So they're just keeping it underneath that.
Crazy. I can tell you about FERC.
Exactly.
Right, and then you get to federal.
I can tell you all about FERC.
they don't want to go there if they don't have to.
Really?
Right.
It's a nightmare.
Is it really?
And we would still, one of the things we're initially concerned about is our workload, and would we be able to handle such a large kind of application proposal without ever having really worked to that before? Even if it went to FSEC, we would still be intimately involved with it. We can handle this. We've decided to take it as a conditional use permit.
Yeah.
People actually on the company, they are people who helped Todd Cornett write Chapter 19 on energy siting. So we expect a robust, sometimes working with contractors, you might not get all the details, and there's a lot of follow-up and workload as a planner.
Sure.
So we're expecting a robust application from them that hits all the points and is complete. So
kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's all in the Shenico kind of.
I mean, it's perfect. It's actually it's perfect.
It's
a great location. Mm-hmm. So on the maximum amount of, say, on the wind turbines, you know, what is that?
So it's a megawatt. It's based on megawatts.
Right.
Different power sources have a divisible factor. So it can't be more than 35 megawatts, or 35 megawatts, but divided by 3. So they're going, because it's intermittent power. So they're at their proposal's coming from 103 megawatts, when the actual official max is 105.
Yeah, right on. So it's 103 is the max megawatts that
they that's what they're looking at, possibly 40, a maximum of 41 turbines.
Right.
And the way they're, so they're looking at, that is going to be phase one. And they will eventually, if it goes well and the market's successful, they will continue with that.
Exactly.
Next phase we'll have to go to FSEC, because even if it's another 103 megawatts, because it's in conjunction with the first one. So, but their plan is get out on the ground floor, let the county have the say in how it goes and where it lies. We did get kind of a staff pre-application meeting with them, and then we did a separate one. We went out to the field. We took Brent and I took a tour of Sherman power plant, wind power plants out there, and sort of look at what they mean when they talk about an operations maintenance building, some of their systems and towers themselves. And they're talking about, they applied for a maximum of 41 towers, but those are the smaller ones, where in Clickitat County now they're getting some that are 2.4 megawatts or even threes, and so they would need less of those to push up to that 103 megawatts.
I'm quite familiar with Pacific Core and what they've done up there.
My understanding is they were going to go to smaller
turbines.
Turbines because of the wind cycle that we have.
Was
what they told them.
They're looking to get to determine what the market is at the time, and so they'll get approved.
Yeah, obviously, if they get smaller turbines, then that's a smaller investment point, say, for the
individual.
So you can get more.
Let's go a little bit higher on the discussion right now. We're kind of diving down a little bit further than I'm comfortable with.
And they're interested in at some point offering potentially a tour for you guys of the Sherman County ones, and I've talked to Angie about that, and we might try to arrange something once the application comes
in. Everybody should see it once.
So that would be a public meeting if we do that as a group, and we can notice
right. If you want to take a look at Pacific Core, let me know. I know them quite well, and I know we can get on there if you're interested.
And so the other big one that's on my desk right now is the David Wilson goal exception. No change in comprehensive plan amendment. We have that was submitted a few weeks ago for just his property, 40 acres.
It was part of the larger 7 Mile Hill zone change that you'll remember. We held a hearing in December 2013. So he feels that his is different, and he's pulled it out and applied for it.
Okay. So that is indefinite, but we don't have a schedule yet for you guys. I'm just digging into
this. Coming up this fall, at least.
It'll be this fall, is what I imagine. And comprehensive plan amendment being involved, there is no time limit. There's no 180 days for that, but we're still expecting to be on your desk sometime this fall.
Has he sent it in yet?
Oh, yeah. We got a few weeks ago, complete application. And so I've just done a bunch of research and what happened in 2013 and all of the kinds of comments. So that process is underway. I think my
she knows.
Have another application. Well, that was kind of general. It's just a non-conforming use. Previous application we approved is coming back for some modifications. That's big ones on my desk, and then we have a whole bunch of scenic area ones. We have a horse boarding scenic area review on our table right now. Pre-notice number 2 here soon, and then
the neighbors are just not in favor of
that one. Has some.
How many?
You may see it.
How many applications year to date compared to last year are you guys at?
You know, I don't have that number. I feel like we were early on higher than usual, but it's certainly tapered off.
I can tell you that I've acted on fewer this year than I did last year.
Gotcha.
Time. I can't give you a percentage.
We also have a little bit more staff. Well, we did for a minute there have more staff than we did this time last year. But we have Lisa, our assistant, been here about 6 months now, doing well. And then Brent Don Associates. And
replacement for Riley, but my understanding is when I retire, there's not going to be a replacement. So this is only good for now.
We'll have three associates and assistant as the full staff.
Code full-time.
Full-time code.
Yep. Chris is doing that job. He was a former sheriff's
chief deputy.
He's been making a lot of progress in a lot of old cases.
And Kelly's just kind of plunking along.
Four road shows. I think several of you went to some of those. Very nice. It's a good turnout. You'll hear more about that next month.
Panic buttons.
We now have panic buttons. There's one actually right underneath your leg there, Ricky.
Oh, really?
There's like
just don't push it.
Velcro to the underneath the desk. You know, there's just been some concern about.
You have to hold it down for 3 seconds to activate.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
You could almost hit it with your knee though.
Yeah, but not for 3 seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's like
you can bump
it.
It's okay.
But we have one of those in Andrew's office, one at the front counter, and one.
Well, so how was this institute? What was?
Was there an incident that percolated meeting or looking for?
Just general
unhappiness.
Crazy, crazy.
Oh, really?
And it rings to the 911 center, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And then it comes over.
We've had threatening people in here before.
I can imagine.
Yeah, agitated. And if you're reaching for the phone, it increases their agitation. So, and the all glass kind of.
Yeah. I heard your phone sets off a bunch of electromagnetic stuff too, so I can really fire.
You know what? Without the device.
Let me close the hearing real quick. This hearing is closed.
I'm just telling you what
I heard. Okay, I closed the hearing.